This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Honeybees have been dying off in startling numbers over the past decade, many from something called colony collapse disorder. While researchers continue to look for root causes and cures for what's killing off these essential pollinators, an 18-year-old from Philadelphia is creating a high-tech hive to monitor the health of his bees. Todd Bookman brings us the story.
There's something of an urban farm in Wingiri's backyard, lots of flowers and wildlife, and for the past few years, honeybees. Back in the far right corner of the property is a workbench covered with the mess that comes when you try to install the guts of a computer into a beehive.
It's about a foot and a half high. We've taken all of the frames out of it, which are the frames that the bees build off of. It's what you see that has all of the wax built up on it, all the like honeycomb shaped stuff. So we've taken all of that out actually. And so now it's just an empty box with cables and wires and lights and cameras and stuff inside of it.
Once it's assembled, the box will stack onto one of Wynn's hives. If you've never seen one, man-made hives look like bedroom furniture, kind of like a chest of drawers with a little entrance on the front. All of the wires and sensors and cameras and microphones will hopefully shed some new light on what's going on inside the hive, and perhaps in the larger environment.
I went into the project being like, I want to solve colony collapse disorder. Which is kind of funny coming from a kid my age, but the project's morphed a little bit, especially as I've talked to Max. It's kind of like, let's go in there, let's put these sensors in, and like, let's see if we learn something new.
Max is Max Lawrence, a 40-year-old artist who works with technology and who at times comes off as less mature than teenage Wynn. And I mean that as sort of a compliment to both of them. They met at the Department of Making and Doing. It's a makerspace in West Philly. Wynn brought the bee knowledge, Max the tech know-how. Still, that combination hasn't made it easy to get this thing up and running.
I'm not really sure, man. It could be like 20 minutes. It could be 4 hours. It could potentially be next week. I mean, I'd like to say it's not, but like, you know, I got limits.
There's a bit of a crunch here because Wynn leaves for college at the Rhode Island School of Design in a few weeks. He's hoping to monitor the bees from there, not just be able to watch a live stream over the internet, but actually track the smallest details of their lives.
In addition to the camera, we've got alcohol sensors, methane sensors, humidity, temperature, noise level.
Plus carbon monoxide and dust sensors, all this gadgetry tucked into the corner of the hive. Wynn says it will beam out a pretty sophisticated stream of data.
For a little while there, I was saying that we were going to have the most advanced smart beehive in the world, which I still don't think is untrue, but at least at a hobbyist level, we will. I don't know what, you know, research universities and stuff are doing, but we're going to have a pretty intense setup here.
Turns out research universities are doing similar projects. In fact, everyone from the USDA to Greenpeace to Monsanto are paying attention. Honeybees play a huge role in our food system. They pollinate crops, including lots of nuts, berries, fruits, and vegetables. So struggling bee colonies put huge economic uncertainty onto the shoulders of farmers, both large and small. Backyard and rooftop enthusiasts are also under strain.
We've really struggled. And a lot of hobbyist beekeepers are really struggling. So last winter was our worst winter yet. We had one hive survive of the four that we had last summer.
There's a good chance some of his new hives will die off again this winter. There have been years when 60% of hives in Pennsylvania failed. And so for Wynn, the idea here is that if he's got all this data, perhaps he can zero in on what forces are at play. But unlike research universities and government agencies, he and Max are trying to build the smart hive on less than $500. And while they're knowledgeable, they're not exactly experts.
Because everybody makes it sound so simple. They're like, oh yeah, just put it on the internet. And trying to get a data feed and video to stream real time out by a beehive through the firewalls of insert name of company there in the router settings, and then like everybody wants you to buy something so you have another plugin. It's just terrifying. Like the baby cam, I keep going back to looking at being like, how do they make it work? You know, like what is, should I just buy an iPhone and shove the iPhone in the beehive? Yeah, now looking back, probably shoulda. Like Wouldn't have known that if it weren't for the experience of doing it, you know?
While Max tinkers with an infrared lens, Wynn throws on a bee suit and pulls the veil down over his Buddy Holly glasses. He uses a stainless steel canister to shoot puffs of smoke at the bees. This calms them down as he cracks open the hive. The smoke technique, and really a lot of beekeeping techniques, haven't changed much over the years. Even the furniture-looking hive has been around since the 1850s. That's when a pastor from Philadelphia named L.L. Langstroth figured out this was the easiest way to harvest honey.
So Langstroth was born down on Front Street in Philadelphia, and he spent his life kind of designing the beehive. Philadelphia is known as the cradle of American beekeeping because the Langstroth beehive was actually invented over in Germantown. So it's kind of really cool to be working on such kind of an innovative project in the same city where modern-day beekeeping started.
Inside the hive, the female worker bees are going about their business, as they have for millions and millions of years, each carrying out a task to keep the hive up and running.
You have a lot of respect for what the bees are doing in here, and how organized everything is.
That organization makes it a good target for data collection. The bees tend to follow patterns, so it'll be easy, in theory at least, to see when those activities change. There's also another well-known aspect of life inside the hive that they want to study.
Another fantasy of Wynn and I is to be able to identify inside of the colony when the bee does a waggle dance. The waggle dance is when the bee shakes its butt and lets the other bees know where there's, syrupy goodness like Mountain Dew or like...
So the waggle dance is like a semicircular dance with a little zigzag through the middle. And so the direction that the bee's pointing tells the other bees which direction a good amount of flowers is, and the number of waggles is, or the number of zigzags, tells the bees how far. So this like magic communicational dance that these bees do let all of the other bees know where the flowers are, where the nectar is.
They want to use image recognition software, like Facebook uses, to digitally track the waggle dance, measure angles and movement, and create an interactive map detailing where the bees are foraging. It's the perfect marriage of nature and technology, at least in Max's head.
To be able to have that streams, those streams of data, to be able to manipulate and reintroduce to each other and recontextualize, it's a paintbrush on some like Bob Ross, like happy bee accident. You know what I mean? Like throw it together, see what sticks. And if it doesn't stick, don't be so occupied with what you expect out of it, because that's bad science.
It's taken Max and Wynn 9 months to get where they are right now, but where they are right now is actually pretty good. The sensors are finally up and running and collecting data, which they're going to make public, and the infrared video feed is streaming a close-up look at life inside the smart hive. It is scary and awesome and transfixing. When Wynn leaves for school, his bees will be virtually there with him. And when some of them die this winter, as the odds suggest they will, he'll be watching too, and perhaps learning what's to blame. For Word of Mouth, I'm Todd Bookman.